Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Wednesday, the 9th of August, 2017. We're still in the book of Eob, or Job, and today we will be beginning with chapter 20. It has been an ongoing back and forth with Eob and his friends, okay? They have been hammering on him pretty hard due to the mindset of the time in which they lived, where if you had troubles, it was always thought that this was from Elohim, that you were being punished for some sin that you might have done. That was the common mindset. If you were sick, it was because you had sinned. If a tree branch fell on you during a storm, it was because you had sinned. Everything was due to a personal misbehavior on the injured or sick person's part. Well, they were not privy to the information that HaShatan and Yahweh were sort of dueling using Eob. He was a pawn in this game started by the devil. And he was being tested in order to see if the devil could break his faith and get him to curse Yahweh. And so far he hasn't done it. He's complaining and whining, and he's saying all kinds of stuff, and he's angering his friends. No, you're at fault, they're saying. It's all due to you. You've got some sin somewhere. So this is a continuation. This is Zophar's sermon that he's going to give to Eob. And I'll impart a little personal information here. I am very, very blessed that Yahweh has given me the ability to save and save and save monthly for quite some time. And I've purchased another new computer, the one that I need to complete all my gear for use on EFR. And the computer hasn't gotten here yet, but the great big screen that I can split and I can watch the shows and monitor and moderate and do all kinds of little technical stuff in the background, that arrived. It's a 24-inch, and it is huge. It's absolutely monstrous. It's huge. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm used to seeing all my recording settings filling up the other screen. That was a 19-incher, but this is a 24. And the difference is rather drastic. And I'm really liking it because it gives me the screen space that I need to separate things and keep everything in line. I have so much more room to work with. And the other computer, when it gets here, is going to be relegated to files. It's got a 2 terabyte hard drive, and it's going to be a lot of storage. because I've got a terabyte in this and an external terabyte on this, thanks to Mr. David James. And EFR is growing by leaps and bounds, praise Yahweh. And we really just need top-of-the-line computer equipment, those of us that are active, pardon me, at EFR. And that's what I'm doing with this gear. It's all for service work. But I do have some music capabilities. So when I'm busy typing and collating files and doing all this other stuff on one computer, I can have a little soothing music in the background and still have the screen in use, because these computers have so much RAM, etc., etc. I can multitask with them, which is really what I need, because I see what's coming in the future and the role that EFR is going to play in it, and I am humbled by what is occurring. It is marvelous, and we are becoming one of the main weapons against the enemy. Praise Yahweh. That's all I can say. Just praise Him. Let me mute the mic. Yeah, I've got the air conditioning running here. It's very warm. And it dries the air out, and I get a cough. So let's get into chapter 20. Of Job. This is Zophar's sermon, is what it's called. Then answered Zophar the Naamathi and said, therefore do my thoughts cause me to answer, and for this I make haste. In other words, he's going to answer what Job has said. I have heard the check. Now that's 41:48, and I need to look that up. I don't have a good definition for that, and I really need to do that. I'll give you that in just a second. I have all these reference books right at hand. It actually turns out to be a masculine noun meaning instruction or discipline. It's almost always in the poetic and prophetic literature. Let's see what it says, if it has Job listed in here, what the context is. It's a discipline or instruction. So we'll just leave that as that. Oh boy. In other words, I have heard the discipline or instruction of my reproach, and the spirit of my understanding causes me to answer. And they have messed with the word order in verse 4. So if you're reading in your King James, you will notice the difference. This you have known of old, since was placed at Adam, specifically Adam, 120, upon the land. Verse 5, that the joyful shouting of the wicked is brief, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. though, here's another verse they messed with the thing. Though mounts up to the sky his pride, and his head unto the cloud reaches. Now he's got his head in the clouds. There's another one they did the word order wrong. Like his own dung he shall perish forever. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? Now this is speaking of the wicked. Here's verse 8. You reference the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 14. He shall fly away as a dream. 2:4:7:2. And shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away. 5:0:7:4. As a vision. 2:3:8:4. Of the night. Verse 9. The eye also which saw him shall see him no more, neither shall his place any more see him. In other words, he won't be found in his house. His children shall seek to please, that's one word, 7:5:2:1, the poor, and his hands shall restore their wealth. Verse 11, his bones are full of the sin of his youth, which with him in the dust shall lie down. That's when he's dead. He's going to die in his sins. Though be sweet in his mouth wickedness, though he hide it under his tongue, though he spare it and forsake it not, in other words, he doesn't get rid of it, but withhold it within his mouth. He keeps his sin in his mouth. It's still with him. Yet his food and his bowels, that's his innards, 4:5:7:8, is turned, 2:0:1:5. It is the gall of cobras within him. Verse 15, he has swallowed down riches, and he vomits them up again. El shall cast them out of his belly. That's the divine being will cast them out. 3:4:2:3. That means to dispossess or cast out. Of his belly, 9:90, that's his inner portions. This is the wicked. He's not repenting, and he's keeping all his evilness in his mouth, hidden under his tongue, to speak it later. And he's going to have to swallow it, and it's going to make him sick. He shall suck the poison of cobras, the viper's tongue shall slay him. Remember, this is all poetic. This is not literal. This is not prose here. This is poetry. And in the Hebrew, it's not a rhyming of words, phonetically, how they sound. It's a rhyming of thought. And sometimes it's pretty difficult to catch. Verse 17, he shall not see the rivers, the floods, the brooks of honey and butter. He won't see prosperity. That which he labored for, he shall restore. In other words, give back. And shall not swallow it down. According to his wealth shall the exchange be. He's going to have to give everything back. And he shall not rejoice in it. And here comes why. Here is the reason. Verse 19, because he is oppressed and has forsaken the poor, because he has violently taken away, that's 1497, that's one word, a house which he built not. He didn't build the house, he took it away from somebody else. Usurers and such, folks. Verse 20, surely he shall not know quietness in his belly. He shall not save of that which he desired. He won't be able to save any of it. This is what's coming. All for all these rich Jews and their minions that are rich off of serving them, they're not going to be able to keep any of it. Because they'll all lay down in the dust. Verse 20, there shall none of his food remain. Therefore shall not firm his prosperity. Therefore not firm is his prosperity. Pardon me, I missed a little two-letter word there. In other words, his prosperity is fleeting. They've got their little money now, but this is about the wicked, and this applies today. Verse 22, in the fullness of his sufficiency, he shall be in distress. Every hand of the suffering shall come upon him. There's going to be a payback for all this evil that they're doing to us today. It's going to bound back on them. Verse 23, when he is about to fill his belly, and it has God here, shall cast the fierceness of his wrath upon him. It's implied. And shall rain it upon his very bowels. So when he is right in the middle of doing what he's doing, he's going to be blasted. He shall flee from the weapon of iron, and shall the bow of bronze strike him through. That's 2498, strike him through. And you can reference Wisdom of Solomon, Chapter 5, verses 17 through 23. Verse 25, it is drawn and come out and comes out of the body. Yea, the glittering sword comes out of his gall. Terrors are upon him. This is what's going to happen to the wicked. The time's getting short. This is all... poetic prophecy. Verse 26, all darkness shall be hid in his secret places. A fire not blown shall consume him. It shall go ill with him that survives in his tent. In other words, his family, the family of these wicked people, they're going to pay a price. Like when the earth opened up and swallowed the rebels against Moshe. All these things are possible. Yahweh can do anything he wants. This is what's coming. This is future. The sky shall reveal his iniquity, and the land shall rise up against him. This is what's coming. This is poetry, but it's future prophecy. The produce of his house shall depart. And it has, and his goods here, but that's not in the Hebrew. That's a suggestion because it's implied. Shall spill out in the day of his wrath. Verse 29, this is the portion of a wicked Adam from Elohim. and the heritage appointed unto him by El. That's 4:10. That's the divine being. So, it's not looking good for the wicked. And that ends chapter 20. So we'll get started in chapter 21. Let me set chapter 20 Hebrew aside. I have the Hebrew sitting here in case I need to refer to it. Because I can read Hebrew like I read English. It's easy now after all these years. Verse 21, chapter 21, verse 1. But Job answered and said, "Hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolations." 8:5-7:5. Okay. Tanakumothekem. Boy, is that a tongue. That's a half a page. That's one word. Tanakumothekem. Consolations. Verse 3. Suffer me that I may speak, and after that I have spoken, mock on. 3:9-3:2. Because they were really giving him a hard time. They mocked him, and everything he would say, they'd come back with a nasty retort. Still in the mindset, may I remind you, still in the mindset that Job had done something wrong. They couldn't get past that, because that was a tradition of men of the time. That was how they were taught from their youth. All these things that come on these people, that's because they've sinned. They've done something. We don't know what it is, but it's something. And they couldn't get past that. Couldn't get past it. So they would rag on people like Job. "Well, you must have sinned. You must have sinned. What did you do that God is punishing you? You're being punished. What did you do?" Well, again, they didn't know what was going on between HaSatan and Yahweh, using Job as the pawn in the game. So let's get into this 21 here. This is Job speaking. "As for me, is my complaint," 7:8-7:9, "to Adam? And if it were so, why should not my spirit be troubled?" He's not complaining to other men. He's asking Yahweh, "Why are you punishing me? What have I done? Show me." Verse 5. "Mark me and be astonished, and lay your hand upon your mouth." Okay, right there. Lay your hand upon the mouth was a custom of the time. If you had spoken out of term, it was an act of contrition. You laid your hand upon your mouth to be silent. Same way when they were in mourning, they would tear their clothes and cast dust and ashes on their head. We have changed. This is way back when. Because this book was written predating the Torah. This is the oldest book in Scripture. Verse 6. "Even when I remember, I am afraid, and trembling takes hold on my flesh." He's afraid of Yahweh. Verse 7. "Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power?" Verse 8. "Their seed is established in their sight." That's their children. with them and their offspring before their eyes. He's talking about injustice. Why do the wicked prosper? I did a wake-up call on good things happen to bad people. Well, that's their reward in this world for serving the adversary against Yahweh. But they take nothing with them. They're hit. Their treasure in heaven doesn't exist. They're not going to enter the kingdom. Verse 9, their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod, 7626, of Eloah, that's a poetic name for Elohim, upon them. In other words, they're not being punished by Yahweh. Verse 10, their bull engendereth, in other words, their bull is always siring cattle and fails not. Their cows calve and do not miscarry. Casteth not her calf in the King James. Verse 11, this is all talking about the wicked and their prosperity. They send forth their little ones like a flock of sheep, and their children dance. They take the tambourine and the harp and rejoice at the sound of the flute. Verse 13, they spend their days in good, and in a moment go down to Sheol. They're here only for a moment. Therefore they say unto El, they say to God, okay, depart from us. For we do not desire the knowledge of your ways. Or for the knowledge of your ways, we do not desire. Okay? That's how it literally reads. In other words, they don't want to know the way of Yahweh. Well, what about today? These people don't want to know his way today. It's too much like work to change your lifestyle according to the scriptures. They like the way of the world. They're not being beleaguered by the Satan because they're doing his bidding. Of course, he's not going to interfere with their life and turn them aside from committing spiritual suicide. And that's what Job is saying here. Why are all these horrible people prospering? Well, we ask that question today, don't we? Why? How? Yahweh's given them enough rope to hang themselves. This is a choosing ground. That's what this world in life is. You get to choose to make a willing choice to be one of Yahweh's, or not. And a lot of people are not. They're not choosing Yahweh's ways. And we talk to them, and we preach at them, and they don't want to hear it. Go away. We don't want to hear that. We're doing fine. Are you? Verse 15, what is the Shaddai, that means the Almighty, that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we entreat him? That's what the wicked say. What good is this God you're talking about, this Yahweh? Why should we serve him? if we pray to him, what good's it going to do us? We're already doing fine. I got two Cadillacs and a $1 million home and blah, 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 blah. All that stuff. The stuff worshipers. They don't want to rock that boat. They're happy. They go to church on Sunday and they put money in the plate. And they appear to be righteous, and then they go home, and then they do the devil's work the rest of the week. They're not going to call on Yahweh. They're doing just fine in the only world that they know. And they don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. They don't perceive the big picture. And they're not going to, because Satan has made them blind. And they like it. They love it so, it says in the scripture. Verse 16, lo, their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. In other words, I'm not listening to them. I'm not listening to their counsel either. Verse 17, how oft is the lamp of the wicked put out, and comes their destruction upon them? And it has God in italics. That's implied. Distributes sorrow in his anger. So that in his, with a capital H, that means the divine being distributes sorrow in his anger. Well, here's their condition. Verse 18, they are as straw before the wind, and as chaff that the storm wind steals away. That's what they are. They're only here for a while. They have their little temporary life, and they have all kinds of stuff. And then they die. And that's it. That's all they got. And here's what's coming. Eloah, that's the poetic name for Yahweh here, 433, stores up trouble, 205, and that's as punishment for his children. He makes retribution to them. And they shall know it. Well, he stored up trouble for us because of our iniquity and our apostasy and all the things that we were doing and are still doing. Still doing. We have not changed as a nation. We have not had a national Israelite repentance. We've had a remnant that has repented and is trying to be righteous, doing what we can, trying to please, but as a whole, in general, no, our Israelite brothers and sisters have not repented. They're not in repentance. So those are the ones that we're trying to reach here. The fence sitters. Verse 20. Okay. Shall see their eyes his destruction. Okay, that's coming. They will see it. And of the wrath of the Shaddai, now that's the Almighty, 7706, they shall drink. The word order is messed up in verse 20. So I corrected it. Verse 21. For what pleasure has he in his house after him when the number of his months is cut off? In other words, life's going to be cut short. Now, listen to this. Verse 22. Shall anybody teach El knowledge? Are you going to teach knowledge to the divine being? Seeing he judges those that are on high, he judges the angels. And you're going to teach him? All right. One dies in his full strength, okay? Full strength here at strength is 6106 is bones. So as strong bones, one dies with strong bones, being wholly at ease and quiet. Verse 24. His pails are full of milk, and his bones are moistened with marrow. Verse 25. And another dies in the bitterness of his being, and never eats with pleasure. But they're both die. Here it is, verse 26. They shall lie down alike in the dust, both of them, and the worm shall cover over them. Person that's happy and the person that's sad. Verse 27. Behold, I know your thoughts and the schemes by which you do violence against me. Wrongfully devise, okay? They're using violent words against him. They're not beating up on him. This is poetry. For you say, where is the house of the noble? And where are the dwelling tents of the wicked? Verse 29. Have you not asked them that go by the way? And do you not know their pledges? Or assurances, that's 226, pledges or assurances. Verse 30, that the wicked is spared, 28:20, for the day of destruction. 3:4:3, they shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. In other words, you see all these wicked people doing all that. The reason they're prospering right now is they're going to be saved for the day of destruction. Yahweh's judgment is going to come upon them later. We're not going according to our timetable, brothers and sisters. We're going by His timetable. He doesn't answer to us. We answer to Him. Verse 31, now I'm straightening the word order out here. Who shall declare to his face his way? And what he has done, who shall repay him? How are you going to repay Yahweh? Your deeds speak for themselves. Verse 32, yet shall he be brought to the grave. That's 6913, that's a sepulcher, a place of burying. And shall watch, 8245, in the tomb. He'll be stuck in the grave. You have to look out at things from there. Verse 33, the clods of the wadi shall be sweet to him. And every atom shall draw after him. As there are, as they are without number before him. Verse 34. How then comfort you me in vain, 1892, seeing in your answers there remains unfaithfulness, 4604. Because they had false presuppositions about Job's suffering. And here they had asked, they couldn't figure out that the good and the bad both die. No matter how much stuff anybody's got on the earth, or no matter how much they lack here on earth, everybody's going to die. Rich or poor, doesn't make a bit of difference. Good or bad, doesn't make a bit of difference. But I say to you, this is me speaking, we need to lay treasures up in heaven, not here on this planet. Okay. Yahweh will give us what we need. Not necessarily what we want. I needed this new computer that's coming because of service work, teaching his word and helping out with EFR that's spreading the word and the truth. And he has blessed in that. He has given me the tools that I need to do his work. Because there is nothing more on this planet more important than that service. I'm not using it to futter around and look at porn and stuff that people use computers for ill. They use them for wickedness. There's all kinds of wickedness on the internet. But you have a choice to click on it or not click on it. That's a decision you, as an Israelite, must make. Okay, I needed this computer. What am I going to use a computer for? That is the key. That's the key. What is it going to be used for? So that you can want a bunch of things, but is Yahweh going to give it to you? Do you really need it, or you just want it? Be grateful for what you have, because no matter what you have, you're a lot better off than somebody else out there. You think you're poor? There are people that are a lot poorer. You think you've got infirmities? There are people that have more infirmities. I have arthritis. I have a bronchial condition. I cough. I have to wear glasses and my ears ring and I don't hear as well as I used to do. And my knees don't work as good as they used to. Wah, 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 wah. I get around just fine. I have the glasses that I need to work on the computer and to walk around and enjoy the air. I have knee braces for my knees if they're a little sore, and magnesium oil to spray on them and take all the soreness out. I eat every day. Not gourmet food, but I eat good, wholesome food. I can take a hot shower anytime I want to. Now, these are simple things. I got plants growing in my apartment. I got radishes and I've got hot peppers, you know, jalapenos and cayenne. And they're growing and I got little flowers. And little, it makes it pleasant. How am I going to complain? Just the sheer fact of being able to take a hot shower. How many people don't have that? Simple, little, everyday things that we take for granted. Yahweh blesses. Get into chapter 22 here. It's only 30 verses. Here's Eliphaz, and he's accusing Job again. Chapter 22. Then Eliphaz the Temani answered and said, "Can a man," that's 1397, that's a strong man, "be profitable unto El," that would be the divine being, "that he is wise, may he that is wise be profitable unto himself?" Or, "that may be profitable unto himself, he that is wise." That's the literal reading of it. "Is it any pleasure to the Shaddai," that's the Almighty, "that you are righteous?" 6663. "Or is it gain that you makest perfect your ways?" Verse 2 and 3, you can reference Job 35, 6 through 8. Verse 4, "Will he reprove you for fear of you? Will he enter with you into judgment?" Now here we go, he's accusing him. "Is not your wickedness great, and no end to your iniquities?" Verse 6. "For you have taken a pledge from your brother without cause, and stripped the naked of their clothing." Oh, really? "You have not given water to the weary to drink, and you have withheld bread from the hungry." These are pretty heavy-duty accusations here. "But as for the mighty man," now that's mighty is 2220, as power of the arm, "he had the land and raised up of countenance, dwelled in it." Somebody that was prosperous and powerful. Verse 9. This guy is really hitting on Job hard. And he's supposed to be a friend. Verse 9. "You have sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken." Fatherless children, the orphans. And Job's done none of this. So I don't know where this guy is getting off on talking to him like this. Not going to be good for him, for Eliphaz. Verse 10. "Therefore snares are round about you, and sudden fear terrifies you." Verse 11. "Or darkness that you can't see, and abundance of waters cover you." Verse 12, "Is not Eloah in the height of the sky?" And Eloah, again, is the divine being. That's a poetic term. Instead of Elohim, it's Eloah. It's an Aramaic term. "And behold, the height of the stars, how high they are." Verse 13, "And you say, how does El know?" In other words, how does God know? "Can he judge through the dark cloud?" Verse 14, "Thick clouds are a covering to him that he sees not. And in the vault of the sky he walks." Verse 15. "Have you marked the old way which evil men have trodden? which were snatched, 7059, out of time, whose foundation was cast down by flood. Which said unto El, that's God again, okay. Depart from us, and what can the Shaddai do for them? That's the Almighty. Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. Verse 19, the righteous see it and are glad, and the innocent, 5355, laugh them to scorn. Verse 20, whereas our adversary, 7009, is not cut down, but the remnant of them the fire consumes. Verse 21, acquaint now yourself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto you. Verse 22, receive now from his mouth instruction, and lay up his words in your heart. Verse 23, if you return to the Shaddai, that's the Almighty, you shall be built up, you shall put away iniquity far from your tents. He's telling him to stop sinning, but he's not doing any of the stuff that he accused him of. Verse 24. Then you shall lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the Wadi. Verse 25. Yea, the Shaddai shall be your defense, and you shall have plenty of silver. Verse 26, for then shall you have your delight in the Shaddai, and shall lift up your face unto Eloah. Verse 27, you shall make your prayer unto him, and he shall hear you, and you shall pay your vows. Verse 28, you shall also decree a plan, and it shall be established unto you. That's 6965, made to stand. And the light shall shine upon your ways of life. Verse 29, when men are cast down, then you shall say, there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble in his sight. He's talking about God, but he says, Job is doing all these horrible things, and he's not. Would he deliver the non-innocent? The island, 336, okay, of the innocent. Non-innocent. You are delivered by the pureness of your hands. Okay? And that's what this fella has laid on Job. You've done this, and you've done this, and you've done this, and you're evil, and you're wicked, and you did all these things, and this is why you're being punished. And it's not why at all. It has nothing to do with why Job is being afflicted. This is a test of the Satan to see if he can break his faith. And these guys just don't see it. Well, that ends chapter 22. And we're going to start in chapter 23. On Friday. We just don't have enough time to do 23 today. Just isn't enough time. So, we see here in the example of Job that it's a parallel of what's going on today with the wicked prospering and all of this. Very, very similar. And our people are asking why also. Why are these guys... Why is George Soros so rich? And why is Hillary Clinton not dead? Just struck down by lightning. And why this? Why that? Why? Okay. There's a lot of mysterious actions going on behind the scenes that we don't see. We don't see this. We need to be patient and wait on Yahweh. That's what we need to do. We can't jump the gun and we can't take it upon ourselves to set a timetable when He is in charge. And that's the whole point. He's in charge. We're not. And we need to be patient and wait on Him. It is always our impetuousness that gets us in trouble. We think we know better than Yahweh. And we don't. We really just don't. So we need to cool it for a while. And let Him do what He's going to do. He's got it in hand. He has a lot more power than we do. And we can't be arrogant about it. That gets us in trouble every time. Our pride, our desire to be on an equal level with the Almighty. We're never going to make that, folks. It's just not going to happen. And I know it upsets people. Because we get an impatient. Well, we've always been impatient. We always think we know better. And it's... always gets us in trouble. It's this rebellious spirit within us, folks. It's I have thoughts in my mind too, man. I wish He'd just strike these people down, and He doesn't. And I, why are they still alive? Oh, I am a man just like you. I'm an Adam. I get impatient. I have the same feelings you do. It's just that I have longer times on the planet and I've learned to control what I feel. At least pretty well. Oh, you can push me over the edge. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a discussion for another day. I want to say shalom aleichem, peace be with you, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. And I'll talk to you again on Friday on Word for Word, beginning with chapter 23 of Job. May Yahweh bless.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. leads against the foe.